Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. And I want to thank all of the Radio Entrepreneurs gang for their continued support. All our reporters, Alex Dablofsky, Chris Gerald, our producer, and everyone involved with the show. I also want to thank our host this month. A great month. A lot of sports going on in the world this month. I want to welcome all of you, our listeners, to the Social Evolution. And bringing people together one event at a time at socialscene.me. And if you have a social life, if you're going to events, you want to take a look at socialscene.me. Take it from me. My co-host today, Peter Morrison from the law firm Cohn, Rasnick, Morrison & Plout, attorney with no peer. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you from a host with no peer.
Thank you very much. Our next guest, seen him many times, many places. A guy who's been an advisor to many companies, Jerry Sherman of Pathway Advisor. Welcome, Jerry.
Good to be here.
You're going to talk to us about some of your theory of good organizational effectiveness and profitability, correct?
That is correct.
Lay it out.
Well, first of all, Jeff, Peter, thank you for having me again. I believe it was 2011.
That's
when I was here last time?
No. It couldn't
I
be.
I think so, yeah.
It couldn't be that long.
You know,
I don't believe
get,
that.
The more quickly things go.
It couldn't have been 5 years ago. I refuse to agree to that.
Okay.
Okay, doesn't matter.
We'd have to go into our records. Yeah. Somebody go into BRM. That's our CRM product.
Would it help to tell the audience, to tell our audience who you are and you know, what you do?
Sure.
Since it's been that long?
Sure.
And we don't count on our audience to remember all those things quite that long.
I'm going to see if I can find out
when. The real question is, can I remember, Peter? But but in any event, I started my career after graduate school. I went to business school as a commercial banker at Shaw Bank in Boston. And as I like to say these days, please don't hold that against me that I was a banker. But I stayed 6 years, and it was a great foundation. I did not like working in a strict, difficult culture. It was not for me, and then I left in 1982 and started a consulting firm. My focus very quickly became working with pretty challenged, financially challenged companies.
Troubled companies.
It's, you know, more or less, some 2 days from bankruptcy and some that we could really create.
Who should be in bankruptcy?
Some of them just collapse before they can even get there. But in any event.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to give the audience a sense of who's talking. That's all.
So all in all, I've worked with over 500 companies.
Wow.
Typically what we might call entrepreneurial, typically we might call lower middle market. Employees of between 25 and 250, typically. Sales typically on the low side, $5 million. On the high side, let's say $100 million. Generally privately held, 50% family owned. And, you know, I've had a pretty good run. It's been going into my 33rd year, and it's been very rewarding. It's really nice when you go to see a former client and he introduces you as the guy who saved his life, which, by the way, is correct in that case. But in any event, so over the years, I've become intrigued with a variety of issues which are critical to what I try to do. And let me make clear, by the way, what I try to do, I don't always succeed. It's not easy. And one of the impediments, by the way, are difficult owners. And oftentimes, I heard it said many years ago, troubled companies are the result of troubled CEOs. And that's largely correct. The last time I was here, in fact, I was talking about a book I was writing. And what I was doing was looking at 25 CEOs of clients of mine who got into severe difficulty. And I was also looking at 25 CEOs of successful entrepreneurial companies, looking for what the differences are and what that would suggest in terms of what behaviors would be appropriate for a successful CEO. And we actually drilled down to using a behavioral assessment instrument to look at those contrasts, which were very helpful. Now, fast forward 5 years, the book's not done. It's difficult. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been
books are much more difficult than anyone realizes.
If people ask me today about writing a book, I actually have a very simple term: ghostwriter.
Yeah.
And that actually does help, you know, the process if you work together effectively with a ghostwriter.
I had 6 chapters in my book, and I wasn't done, and my publisher said, send me the book. We're publishing it now.
And
I actually had 8 chapters, sorry. And they ended up just taking 6. He said, forget those 2. We don't have time. Go.
Well, that says that I'm not sure what your thrust was, but it says whatever it is you were doing was cogent, and that's really the key to any book, at least as far as I'm concerned. But what I want to talk about today is something really different. Not the issues with respect to the CEO, entrepreneur, owner, but the significance of the administrative and operational practices of an entrepreneurial company and how important actually they are to the success of the company. In fact, what I've learned over the years is that it's a heck of a lot easier and often more productive to focus down at the administrative and organizational level as opposed to trying to dramatically change the behavior of the CEO. As long as you can get buy-in, you can make a lot of progress. Now,
administrative as opposed to strategic decisions?
Well, you actually just jumped right in where I was going. In the course
I usually do that so badly. But
I don't know about the badly, just too often.
Well, you know, I'm at a point in terms of interrupting people. I guess it's a trait of somewhat type A people. Is I actually apologize. It's a bad habit. Please bear with me. But in any event, I was actually writing an article.
My wife taught me to apologize pre and post every event I go to.
I'm not going to go into what my wife has taught me.
We could just hang a sign around your neck.
You know, you don't do it to me too often, but when you do, they're good.
So, to get back to your question, Peter, I was writing another article, actually, about the assessing a management team and trying to make a judgment about the likelihood that the team could pull off a turnaround. I fell upon a study which was performed by Professor Peter Boyle at the University of Texas, which was published in the Journal of Small Business Management.
Not Peter Boyle from Young Frankenstein.
Perhaps. I don't know, except that one is dead. I don't know about the one at the University of Texas.
Couldn't help it, you know, showing my pop culture off.
Hey, you're my kind of guy with those jokes. But in any event, without getting all the detail, needless to say, the thrust of Professor Boyle's study was simply that administrative and organizational issues correlate more closely to success or failure than strategic issues do. And that's just my experience. And Jeff, I know that you told me before we went on that that's your experience as
well.
That's
just academia, again, following logic.
Not always the case in my experience, but actually.
No, not the client's logic, but the logic of business. It's all about execution.
Thank you. Thank you. I was going to.
I always tell my client, don't try to build the perfect strategy. Build me a B strategy and execute it perfect.
We're on the same page, totally.
Right.
And so, taking it one step further, my experience with underperforming companies, financially challenged companies, whatever you want to call them, is that the strategy is often not that bad. And it really is the administrative
right.
and organizational issues that sink them. So my whole premise today is that if a company, number one, sets a goal, whatever it may be, and I'm going to give an example in a second, that with the proper organizational administrative structure and a achievable goal, that within 90 days, a company can see a dramatic improvement in their performance, in their profitability. I would say
most definitely, without a doubt. And I think too many entrepreneurs, their ego blocks them from that concept, right?
Without a doubt,
within 90 days, someone can go from not profitable to profitable, or if they're profitable, to very profitable, if they just apply the right systems.
There are 2 exceptions. I agree with you, but to be fair, there are 2 exceptions.
Jeez, and here I'm supporting you, and now you're making exceptions to my supporting you.
Well, you know,
your marriage material.
No, they're important exceptions.
Two personalities.
They're important exceptions. One exception is if there are what I call structural inefficiencies. I went into a company recently where their revenue per employee, which is a measure I like to look at, was 50% of their competitors. And because of the nature of their equipment, the nature of their building, there was no way they were going to get there. There's just no way. The other strategic issue that I want to take 15 seconds on are companies that are in industries that have been disrupted by the internet. Many of those companies just can't adapt, so their strategy being outdated sometimes can be an insurmountable problem.
Well, and they're going to become more outdated.
Yes. But putting those aside, I'm absolutely going to go back to the administrative and organizational issues. I worked with a company 5 years ago. In fact, it was the client who thanked me for saving his life. In a consumer product business, had a policy that happened to be footwear, and had a policy that if a customer, which were largely small and middle-sized shoe retailers, needed a one pair of a 9B shoe in red, they would try to carry the inventory and fulfill that one order.
Now, sounds like a company I know.
It may be. They, first of all, to try to do that, had to carry ridiculous inventory, which they couldn't afford to carry. And second of all,
they haven't learned the 80-20 rule.
There were a lot of things they didn't learn. But the second thing is to sell this, a shoe for $50 on a one-off basis, it's impossible to make money because of the cost of processing order. Maybe you've got a 40% gross margin. It's a money loser by definition. When I got there, they had been thrown out of their bank. They had talked to 25 alternative lenders without success. And the first thing I said to the client is, we're not going to talk to any lenders until we get this figured out. He thought that I was saying he was a bad guy. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was a bad guy. He had a bad structure. So,
yes, keep going.
Okay. So what we did fairly quickly is identify together, although I was really the leader of it, that the inventory was the issue. And after a knockdown, drag-out fight to get him to change his policies, we got out of the business of carrying a substantial inventory, meeting orders for a one-off. And here's what happened. A, we were able to find a new lender very quickly because we weren't asking to finance heavy inventories. B, we changed somewhat the model of the company from selling smaller retailers. They had in at Costco and some other large retailers. Today, they basically sell in bulk. Costco worldwide probably gives them $30 million alone in volume on an annual basis. It's a dramatically different company. It's a financeable company. And huge success. Very good example of focusing on one operational issue. We got the team together. What we also did, and this is important, we restructured the organizational chart. We created a consistent communications structure where people were talking to each other on a regular basis to deal with issues. We created accountability for the first time in the history of the company, and we created metrics to measure and follow progress. So again, what we did, and this is just common sense, this is not rocket science or anything close to it. We focused on a problem. We cleaned up the organization so that it could function more effectively. We created communications structures, and we created metrics to measure how we were doing against our goal. Within 90 days, number one, we had a new lender. Within 90 days, we were making money. And within 90 days, I worked myself out of a job, which really is my goal.
Jerry, all very interesting. Sorry, we're coming towards the end of our time. Mm-hmm. So I think people who are interested in your 90-day formula might want to contact you or get to know you a little bit better. And you can always come back and talk to us again. Don't wait 5 years if that number's right.
I'd be delighted to come anytime.
If somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
The name of my firm is Pathway Advisors. Mm-hmm. We're in Braintree, Massachusetts. The email address is gsherman@pathway-advisors.com. The phone number is 617-699-2756. And don't look at my website. It's very rudimentary. I generally never get clients from my website. You're welcome to look, but
Cobbler's son wears
matter.
No shoes. Okay, Cobbler's son wears no shoes.
Right.
Okay, we can 90 days show you how to generate business from your website.
Super.
My name is Jeffrey Davis from Mage, also host of Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm here with Peter Meyerson, Cohen, Rasnick, Meyerson, and Plout. And we were talking with Jerry Sherman of Pathway Advisors. Also want to thank our hosts again, the social scene. Welcome to the new Social Evolution, bringing people together one event at a time. And you can find out about your social revolution at socialscene.me. Just take that, take a look at that, socialscene.me, and take a look at the future right now. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.